Teaching Bible Radio.
Making plain
the word of Jesus. Just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the word of Jesus. Just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the words of Jesus. Just to let people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio. Teaching Bible Radio.
Pastor Landis Fisher, St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church and Straight Gate Ministries, and we're blessed to be here and glad you have decided to join us today as we worship the Lord. Amen. It is a great day, and we want to go right ahead and have a word of prayer. We thank God that you have tuned in to be with us. Let's pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Father, we thank you for being God all by yourself, Father. We thank you for giving your Son, the Lord Jesus, in order that we might trust in him and be saved. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to praise him, to bless him, and to preach him to all the nations, Lord God. And so, Father, we want to thank you today that he provides for all who trust in him the forgiveness of sin. Lord God, and we ask you to forgive us of our sins, O God. Help us today, Lord God, to walk in a way that's more pleasing in your sight. And Father, we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory this morning, Father. We pray for everybody who is under the sound of my voice or who is viewing this broadcast, Lord God. We ask you to touch every family, every home, and every person right now, God, that's calling upon your name. Father, we ask you to heal the sick and give understanding, Lord, to all of us today because we need you, Father, and we cannot get along without you. We thank you for all that you have done. Father, we look and see that you have just blessed us in so many ways, Lord God, that we can't even count them all up, Lord God, but we just want to say thank you right now for everything that you have done. Father, you have just been such a blessing, Lord God. We can't even begin to talk about it. I'm just overwhelmed at your mercy and your grace today, Lord God, and the way you have blessed this ministry, Lord God, and all the people who are tuning in. We're getting praise reports from everybody, Lord God. And Father, we ask you to just bless and continue to keep them, Lord. And we want to thank you for everyone right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask special grace and blessings for our mothers out there today. Lord, touch them right where they are. Bless them and give them a great day today, Lord God, that they might continue to pray and worship and seek your face, Lord. And we just thank you for all of them, all the family members and friends and relatives and neighbors and even for our enemies today, Lord. We just lift up praise to your name. And thank you, Lord God, as you continue to bless. We ask a blessing on the message today that it would be a good word for all those who hear it. And we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the saints all together said, amen, amen. We thank God for you being here. And we hope you are having a great day like we are. Father, we just want to tell the Father one more time, thank you. Because he has been a blessing. So we're going to go ahead. We do have a good word from the Lord. If you've been keeping up with our studies, you'll know that we've been talking a lot about navigating through this life with secret information. So I wanted to kind of connect these topics today just a little bit for you to the topic that I want to talk with you about this morning, because there's so much to say about that. And if you happen to miss those, go back. They're still on our website. They're here on Facebook. And you can also catch up on anchor.fm on our podcast. Amen. If you'd like to back up and catch those other lessons. So in the recent days, those of you who have been with us, you've seen that we have had some kind of connected subject matter. I guess that's the best way I can say it. Been talking with you about citizens of heaven, what that means to actually be living here on earth, but yet be a citizen of heaven, giving allegiance to the King of Kings, the true King, because we have a lot of subterfuge going on down here with politics and all of that. But we want to keep our minds focused on the true King, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. So we've talked about that a little. God's gift of spiritual progress. We have said that God, through His Word and through the giving of His Son Jesus and the giving of faith that He has given me and you, has determined that we would be on a course of spiritual progress. Doesn't mean we do everything right, but it does mean along the way we learn how to do everything better and how to do everything for His praise and for His glory. So you and I are on that track if we have become citizens of heaven and we're walking by faith and not by sight. Now, that's one of the things that kind of ties into that navigating through life with secret information. God is giving you information that you can only get from His Word. It's only revealed to the ones who believe Him by faith, who trust in Him and walk in what the Word says. And so God begins to open up our mind and open up paths of victory for us through life so that we can walk in His Word and be in spiritual progress. That's the process of going from how we were to how God wants us to be. Amen. We call it progressive sanctification. We talked about that just a little. So we talked about learning to be Christ-like, the goal of believers, enemies of the gospel, things that fight against the truth that God has given in the world, and there are plenty of those, and being mindful of the season. What season is this that we're going through right now? And this is another reason why we need to learn the secret information from God. I want to talk about that a little more in this session today. And so you can back up and catch all these if you happen to be on this for the first time. We have messages about all that online for you to enjoy. So what we talked about this, God's great mercy and a synopsis of accountability, how God wants us to be accountable to the truth, which is His Word that He has given, and we do that by faith. Amen. So we're learning some good stuff here. And just to transition today, this is what I'd like to do. I want to kind of bring you in. We had two sessions on navigating through life with secret information. And so I want you to just now today, this is a new area of focus that I thought that I would like to share with you today. So as we begin this message today, realize what those previous ones were there in navigating through life with secret information. I'm going to elaborate on that. We had two sessions, one and two. So what is this secret information? We talked about it last time, and simply put, it is the Word of God, the Holy Bible, which even though the Bible remains the world's bestseller, even today, it always has been, and it is today, and it will likely continue to be. It is also the most misunderstood document on earth. And so that's where we have a paradox here. The Scripture sells more than anything else on earth, and it's given away, multi-thousands of copies are given away. God only knows how many copies we've given away, because we want everyone to have God's Word. And so it outsells everything, but yet it's the most misunderstood document on the planet. And so this is where we get into this area of how we become people who understand what God says, people who believe what God says, and people who can benefit from what God says. Now, so I want to talk with you about that. What is the secret information? It's the Word of God, the Holy Bible, which even though it remains the world's bestseller, it is the most controversial, most misunderstood. It's the most hated and scorned, ridiculed, rejected, even burnt and mocked by many. Now, you wouldn't think that would be so, since it is the Word of God, but it is a fact. But that's what happens when people reject the Scripture, the counsel of God, rather than believing the Scripture, which is the counsel of God. The Scripture says that the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but My Word will never pass away. God says His Word is more stable than the very ground upon which we stand and the entire universe. And we'll talk about that a little today. So this is what we want you to see. However, the people who have been saved by the fact that the Holy Bible contains the gospel of Jesus, the Messiah, whom God raised from the dead and in the sight of all people in order to give credence to His Word, to show you that He knows what He's talking about, because He has authority even over death in the grave. And so you and I should understand that we have something that validates the truth of God's Word. Who else has authority over the grave? I want to ask you here this morning, just before we get into this message. I want to ask you, who do you know that can get you out of the grave? You know, the grave has upset a whole lot of people. A whole lot of people are flipping and turning and going through changes because they don't have an answer for that problem, the grave. But now God has solved the problem of the grave and death. And we get that knowledge, that revelation comes through His Word. And so the scripture basically is what reveals that to the world. So we want to talk about that. And when God raised Jesus from the dead, and this is a well-known fact, it cannot be refuted. A lot of people try. You hear a lot of controversial stuff out there about it. But the fact is, there would be no church had Jesus not gotten out of the grave. So it's very important for you and me to understand that. So God has given you proof by raising His own Son, Jesus the Messiah, because He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Most famous Bible verse in all of Scripture, perhaps. So the Bible is a lifeline, and it is the story of the world from its creation until its destruction and replacement by the new heaven and the new earth. So you can see that this is critical information. This is nothing that you want to sidestep, overlook, or misunderstand. It's the greatest thing because it contains the entire blueprint of the earth from start to finish from the great architect of all things, who is God Almighty Himself. And so today I want to talk with you about this secret information. What do you and I do with it? When we are being trained in the Word, what do we do with it? Well, think about this. After Jesus got out of the grave, it's recorded in Matthew 28:18, He said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye to His disciples, therefore, and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Then He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So He has commissioned us to go out and teach. And I'm shocked. I was talking with a person on the phone trying to set up some services the other day. And I told him the name of our website in the process of that conversation. And I said, it's teachingbible.org. They said, preaching the Bible? I said, no, teaching. And they said, well, would you spell that? And I said, yes, T-E-A-C-H-I-N-G. And they said, oh, teaching. Like they were surprised that I mentioned teaching. You know why? Because I think a lot of the churches kind of set teaching on the back burner, and we're more into emotions and all kinds of other stuff, and people don't even expect to be taught. But the truth is, Jesus dispatched the 12 and told them to go and teach. He said, go into all the world, to all the nations, and teach. He says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so I said that because the Scripture is a thing to be taught. It's a thing to be learned. It is a thing that expresses all the mind of God for all of time into eternity. And so you and I have taken up the task, and particularly our ministry, Straight Gate Ministries and St. Timothy, have taken up the task of teaching people to observe what God has said in His Word. And so I want you to understand that this is why you have to get the secret information, which is in the Word, and it comes from God. God is the actual teacher. It's not really me, even though I'm standing here in front of you today, even though there are preachers of every stripe and all around the world who are on the same page as we are here today, teaching the Word of God. Is something that God Himself does when you trust Christ and believe that He has raised Him from the dead. He moves in and takes up residence in you by the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead, according to the Scripture and theologians have taught throughout the years. And He will begin to teach you and lead you and guide you to all truth. So the church is instrumental in the process of getting God's Word made plain to those who trust in Him. Now, I want you to hear a verse from the Old Testament we're going to use for a subject, living in the light of future glory. And so the secret information that we receive here on earth is to bring us into a state of mind where we can look forward to what God has promised. And it's a good thing, especially when you see how things are going here on earth. We got a lot of issues down here on earth. We got a lot of issues in our own cities, in our own states, and in our country, and even in the world, that are bubbling and really working hard against the things that God has said. But the fact is, you and I, who have secret knowledge from God's Word, are able to see through all the trouble, all the confusion, even through the grave, into the prosperity that God has ordained for those who put their faith in him. The scripture says if you keep your mind stayed on God, that he will give you perfect peace. And that perfect peace is the projection of how we feel based on what God has said, not so much what we see around us. That's why the scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. We want to keep our mind fixed on what God is doing, and therefore we can have a stability that is unavailable for people who do not believe God. That's why the world is being tossed and driven and carried about by every wind of doctrine. People teach crazy things, and the world has things that it says against God's word. And the word actually will keep you on track, keep you on target, and keep your mind in a state of peace, even in the confusion that we're going through. So understand this, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, so that if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. This has to go on in your mind underneath the currents of all the things that are being taught. So I have learned that one of the very best things that ever happened to me to improve my state of mind about the way things are in the world was reading the scriptures for myself and understanding God's mind on everything. That helps me when there's trouble, when there's difficulty, when there's sickness, when there's disease, when there's famine and all the things, storms, all the kind of stuff that goes on in this world. So reading the Bible gives you an accurate view of how things are and shows us that God has revealed the fact that he has always retained his love and provision just as he always has, no matter what kind of people we are. That's the beautiful news about the scripture. We're not so wonderful ourselves. We all have issues. We all have circumstances in our lives that are less than perfect. But the fact is, God knows how people are. He understands the condition of the fall, and he has made a way to deliver us, and that's what we call salvation. He can bring you out of the situation of being stuck in the pattern of this world, bring you into a new progressive relationship with him that will culminate in total salvation and deliverance into the new heaven and the new earth. So I want you to get right there. That's what we want you to do. Understand God loves you. He knows what you're going through. He has made a way for you, and he has given you a prescription in his word, which will help you get through this life and not lose your mind. Because there's a lot of stuff in this world, you can just lose your mind. It's so crazy. And so we want to understand that God's word is the antidote for the poison of the things that are in this world. Look at this. I want to share with you a verse from Isaiah, the prophet, in the last chapter of his book, Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. It says, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me? And where is the place that I may rest? He says, for my hand hath made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one will I look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. God says, when you look to my word, since I am the creator of all things, if you understand that I am the one who put everything here, I put you here, I put the world here, I put everything here, and I am the one, and what can you make for me? Nothing. The fact is, God made everything, and he made it for you, and he made it for me. He said, but when you tremble at my word, that's the one I will look to, the one who understands the gravity of this book, the word of God. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. God says, I'm going to open up your understanding so you can understand my word, the creator of heaven and earth, so you can have peace in your life as you go through life, so that you can understand that even though the world may be against you, that I'm for you. If you stay in my word and walk by faith, not by sight, don't worry about what you see. Trust me, because I designed it all, and I'm going to finish it all. And so this is a great verse here, these verses, Isaiah 66, chapter, verse 1 and 2. So in the New Testament, look at this. I want you to see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that means fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So he says, yes, it's like we're in a war here on earth. Why? It's a war of ideas. It's a war of perception. It's a war of thought. The world says it's this way. God says it's this way. There are contradictory one to another. But God said by his word, if we learn to walk by faith, then we can see it the way he sees it. We can stand no matter what anybody says or how circumstances go on our part. And he will give us power to do the battle, to fight the battle between the flesh and the spirit. We talked about that a few weeks back. So he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So there is a war between the flesh and spirit. We talked about that a couple of lessons back. And he says here, for the weapons of our warfare, what do we fight with? We're not trying to hurt anybody. We're not like the militant people that you hear about out here in the world doing stuff, trying to take by force or by power. The scripture says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. See, so God's spirit is the one who empowers you and me to be able to accomplish God's will, which is written in his word day by day. So it's a spiritual fight. It's not a physical fight. We're not setting up fortresses and buying human weapons. That's why it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are divinely powered. And in other words, God powers his people with what we need to tear down the fortresses of mental conflict that man wants to tell you it's this way when God says it's that way. And so you and I learn to stand on the truth. And if we walk in the truth will make us free. That's what Jesus said. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so it's the knowledge of the truth in our mind when we study God's word, when we meditate on his law day and night, like the psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He said, ye shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water to bring forth his fruit this season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, God is, has incorporated prosperity, and I'm not talking about necessarily riches and all that, but that's can be a part of it, but it's not the focus of it. Prosperity is being able to do well and keep moving toward godliness and godlikeness in your life, which includes the blessings of prosperity, physical things, and all of that. God says, I include all of that in the whole package. But the fact is, if you walk in my word, you're going to continue to prosper day by day, and nothing can take you out. That's the great news that God has in his word. So we want to move by faith, and it's only by faith because you may not see it. It may not look like what God says is the case, but the fact is, it is what God said, and it cannot fail. It's easier, the Bible says, for the heaven and the earth to pass away than for one jot or one tittle of my words in any wise fail. Jesus said it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away. Think about that. So God has guaranteed us that if we walk by faith, not by sight, that we will be able to accomplish great things that he has already promised and ordained in his word. Now here goes the battle, verse number 5 in 2 Corinthians 10. Casting down imaginations and every lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that works on the inside. In other words, if we have personal issues that we need to defeat, God says, bring all those evil thoughts. And God knows we have them. We can't stand here and tell the world we don't have evil thoughts. A lot of people try to. That's a fake appearance they want to put on and say, we're all so holy and all those people over there are struggling in sin. Well, that's really not the truth. The truth is all people are struggling with sin. Some people aren't struggling. They don't care. And they're just indulged in sin and they don't know any better because God would like to give them relief, victory, and power over their sin. But even the ones who are pursuing God have issues that need to be overcome by God's word. This will be the result of prayer. The Bible says some only come out by fasting. There are different ways God has given us prescription in his word to be able to live in the light of future glory. In other words, he promises you that if you trust my son and you believe that I raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's step number one. You must be saved. You must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. That means be born from above. Allow God to give you a new birth experience. Trust him and believe him. Put your life in his hand. Trust that Jesus has paid the bill and proven it by getting up out the grave in order so you can know that even death has been swallowed up in victory. See, that's what you have if you're saved. You don't have a fear of the grave and death. Why? Because Jesus defeated the grave and he defeated death. Got up and said, all power is given to me. If you put your faith in him, you get a new birth experience. God will overcome you and make you a child of his kingdom and not a child of the earth or the flesh or of man. See that? So you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, however we come here, that's the way we are. And we're destined to the grave. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, when you trust God, the Holy Spirit will be given to you. And you will begin to understand the secret things that God has kept and put in his word. So we learn to live life right now in the light of future glory. God has promised that whoever trusts him, he will glorify. He says, for those whom he foreknew, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. And them whom he predestined, these he also called. Them he called, he also justified. And them he justified, he also glorified. So we have the future glory that we can set our eyes on. That's why Paul told the Colossians, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we have a new projection in our life to look forward to what it will be, because God says he's going to undo all the problems with sin, will be done away, and the earth and its works will ultimately be burned up. So I want you to understand, get on the right track. Do it right now. Don't wait. The scripture says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Harden not your heart, because God wants you to be saved. He has made a way and given the prescription so that all men, women, boys, and girls can trust in his only son by faith and be saved. So Paul says, and getting back to the 2 Corinthians 10 passage, casting down imaginations. Now, that'll be things that are created within our own mind about stuff that we're dealing with. You know, the world will give you a whole total new different story about what's going on than God will. You know, God says that you can look at it through my lens, not through the world's lens. You'll see a whole nother picture about how things are. Yeah, it may be bleak. It may be ugly. Stuff like all the plagues and viruses and sicknesses and diseases. That all is very depressing. But look at it from God's perspective. I love you. I've made a way, and not even any of that can really take you away from my love. That's why the scripture says nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So whatever you're going through, God says, I go through it with you. And that's what David meant in the Psalms when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In other words, I'm comforted by knowing what you have said, accurate information about God, and I can fix my mind on future glory. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comforts me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. See, God's got you covered on the front. He's got you covered right now in the middle. And he's got you covered on the back. Goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See that? My future glory is already prepared. And I can live life knowing where I'm going. That's the great thing. To live life in the glory and in the light of the future glory that God has promised you. So you're going to make it through. You don't have to worry about anything interrupting God's blessing in your life. He says, if you are mine, then I'm going to bless you, and you don't have to worry about it. You can look forward to future glory. And so that's why Jesus taught also, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth. That doesn't mean don't have anything. It just means don't trust in the things that you have as something that's more important than what I've told you. See, because God's people, if you check the word, you'll find they all had plenty. The majority of them had plenty, although there were people who were completely poor and still had God and were able to make it through, such as the beggar that was at Lazarus' gate. He was a poor man, but he got saved because he had faith in God. Then there were rich people who got saved, like Joseph of Arimathea and Abraham and so on and so forth. So it really didn't have anything to do with how much or what they had. It had to do with who they trusted, and they had a they knew that they had a future laid up for them in glory that God had promised because they were citizens of heaven. And they were able to defeat the problems of this world and make it through life. And so he says, we're going to cast down imaginations and every lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So Paul is telling us there that we have the ability through God's word to defeat every obstacle that the world deals, every obstacle that comes from within, from my own misunderstanding, from my own fears, from anything of that sort. See, God has equipped you through his word. And you may say, well, preacher, I don't understand the word that well yet. You know what? God knows what you understand. And he knows what you need. And so he said, I will give you pastors after my own heart to feed you on knowledge and understanding. You need to be connected to the church. You need to be in a church that teaches the word, that gives you understanding so that you can begin to grow by faith, so that you can walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And so we admonish you to do that. If you haven't gotten in the church, look us up. We got room. We'll take you right now. And so we thank God for that. So one other passage I want to share with you. Time gets away so quick when we start these messages. Romans 8 and verse 18. This is what Paul says. And I want you to understand how you can be living in the light of future glory. Because you can always set your mind on what God has already promised you. And you know the outcome of a thing because the word of God tells you what that is. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Now look at that. Here is a man who was in prison because he trusted in the word of God. It took him a while to get there. In the early life of Paul, he was not able to see the church because he was blind. And I use him for an example at this point. So you can understand that before he got saved, he was an enemy of the church. He was an enemy of God. He did not understand. He knew the Bible, but he didn't understand the secret information. When did that happen? When he understood who Jesus was, then he got saved. And now all of a sudden, boom, I understand the scripture. And I know what God is doing. I can see the whole thing now. And he became the most vocal advocate for the scripture and preaching and teaching God's word of anybody that has ever existed. That's why God trusted Paul after his conversion to write nearly half of the New Testament. So it was information that flooded his mind he had never had before, even though he knew the whole scripture from Moses to Malachi, which was all the Bible that was available in his day. From the Old Testament, the Book of the Law, clear through the prophets and the Psalms to Malachi, he knew it very well. But he didn't know the God who wrote it, and he rejected the Son of God, which gave him a spiritual blindness that he could not see. Now, that's one of the best illustrations of the fact that when you understand God and you trust his Son and you get the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he will teach you things you never knew before. He'll show you what the word really means. That's what's really important, is do you know what the word really means and how do I really apply it to my life? And it's going to be a process of learning and understanding that you come to by faith. But the more you walk with him, Paul says, now that I got it, I can say this, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. See, that's all God is doing, is giving men, women, boys, and girls time to understand his love, that he gave his Son, that he raised him from the dead. He centered him in your time schedule. You cannot overlook Jesus. You can say you will, or you may think you can, but the fact is, he's in your life today, whether you want him in there or not. The whole world time system is divided on Christ, the person in the work of Christ. So he's in your face. Now the question is, do you want him in your heart? If you do, believe in him, trust in him, believe that God raised him from the dead, and his promise to you is that you will be saved. So Paul says, the sufferings I'm going through, not even worthy to be compared with God has promised me. For there are things going on here in the creation that are waiting because God is giving mankind time to turn around and be saved. He wants you to be saved. Notice verse 20, Romans 8:20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. In other words, Adam failed, sin came in, and the creation God made to be a great, wonderful place turned instantly into a devastation, and sin took hold and thorns and thistles and death came as a result of Adam's sin. Notice on in verse 21 that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. See that? So we're looking forward to new things. God has got new things planned. They are right on course, right on schedule. Doesn't make any difference what's going on in politics. Doesn't make any difference what's going on in any nation around this planet. Doesn't make any difference anything that man has decreed, because God has a decree which is the highest. And you and I can trust in the decree of God. I see so many people today hung up in the various stuff with all this bad political climate that we have right now. And I want to admonish you today that, you know what, the scripture says that it's about the globe. It's not necessarily about America. We need to understand it's about the whole globe. It's about the world. It's not just about anything going on on earth. Earth is God's footstool, the Bible says. So we need to understand that God is basically going to do exactly what he has promised. You can count on it. There will be a new heaven and a new earth that God has already promised. And he's making preparation for you and me to be able to inhabit the new heaven and the new earth. In the meantime, we want to busy ourselves telling the world about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's God's will. That's why Jesus said, go and teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So the mission of the church is from the time of Christ's first advent to the end of the world. We're somewhere in between right now. And so that's what the reason why I want to admonish you. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he said he will direct your path. Because there is coming a new heaven and a new earth. We're making preparation at St. Timothy right now to be able to teach and preach more and more and bring more people into the kingdom. We hope that you are trusting Jesus Christ right now. And because this is the time. The time is getting short. We don't know when it will be, and we don't want to put dates, because Jesus said no man knows the day or the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. But we do believe that it's getting very close. Now I want to share just one little more thing with you here in the time we have left. Time gets away so quickly here that it's kind of difficult to get everything in. That's why we start making our resources available in multiple different formats online, so you can always review it. Now, notice this in Revelation. I'm taking you to the end of the story because we want to understand how right now, whatever we're going through, and this is a very odd time, I have to say, because in my years of life, I've never seen a time like this before. This is the most odd time that I have ever seen or ever experienced in my lifetime. And I got some mothers at our church that are a little older than me, and they said they've never seen it in their lifetime. So I can give you some personal testimony of at least nearly 100 years that it's never been like this before. But this is a good time. I don't want to scare you with that. I want to inform you that God loves you even in a time like this, and that he will save you right now. Whatever you're going through, he knows about it. He has already given a solution even to the worst possible thing that could happen to me or you that we would consider in this world, and that would be even death. Jesus has died on the cross, and he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, that by his stripes we are healed. Now, when we see all that happened to Jesus, the perfect, holy, spotless, sinless Son of God, we understand all the injustice of the world. We should be able to look at the cross and understand the injustice of human government, which has failed tremendously, as it continues to do. It failed tremendously because God himself came in their midst, was found guilty and crucified when he had done nothing wrong. Human government has failed continuously, and it will always fail because it will never give you the utopia that it promises. But the fact is, the only one who did prosper beyond all that, and God knew it already, he had written it down in graphic detail from the beginning of the book, clear on through, that I will come and be crucified, spit on, mocked, ridicule, found guilty. And you know what? God isn't guilty of anything negative. Nothing at all. He isn't guilty of anything at all. Jesus was perfect, holy, harmless, and undefiled, the scripture says. Yet he was misjudged, mistreated, spit on, mocked, found guilty, crucified, and put to death. See? But you know what? All of that couldn't really kill him. He was on the cross, hanging there for all day long until he was ready to go. That's because he predicted everything that would happen to him. See? Including the spitting, the mocking, the sour wine, the beating, the flogging. All of that was predicted in his word. The crown of thorns. All of that. That he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. That by his stripes we are healed. And what you need to see when you see the cross is see that this was judgment that God poured out on his own son in order not to have to pour it out on you or me. He allowed him to take all the punishment in his wrath, heaped it up on him, even though it was not his hand that did it. It was the hand of sinful man, sinful governments, sinful religion, sinful politics, all the stuff that we've taken hold so high like we think it's all that. All of that failed, and God knew it would fail. And he sent his son in the midst to prove that you should not put your trust in these things, but only in him who was able to get up out of the grave and declare all power is given to me. And so I want you to see now that's what happened right in the middle of human history, and it's well documented. And so you should believe it. You should understand it on the basis of the history alone, if nothing else. But by faith, I preach to you today that it was God's love. It was not the nails that held Jesus to the cross. You always hear people say this. But it was God's love. He loved you that much that he would allow his own son to stand in your place, in my place, in order to receive his wrath, his judgment. And all of his judgment did not kill Jesus. Why? Because he was without sin. The Bible says the wages for sin is death. He didn't deserve death. He had not sinned. So he took the punishment for all of the sinners who trust in him, heaped it up on himself, and God allowed it in order that he would be punished. That's why it says, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. He was chastised for our peace, and that by his stripes we are healed. See that? So God allowed all of that, and that punishment was the judgment of God against sinners, and he heaped it up on his son so that you can trust him and believe and be saved, so that I can trust him and believe and be saved. And then Jesus still hadn't died because he received more than it would have took. He probably would have died 1,000 deaths had he have been a regular man like you or me. But the fact is, he was still alive until he was able to say, "It is finished," even after he had been forsaken by God, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Hanging there on the cross between heaven and earth, dying for your sin and mine. See, but he did not die until it was his time because he was perfect. Sin was not in him, and therefore he was able to hang there all that time until everything was fulfilled. And then he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." He finished everything God had said needed to be done in order for him to be satisfied. So God was satisfied after Jesus took the punishment that you and I deserve. And he said after that, Jesus said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." So he commanded his spirit to go back to God. And James gives us the great mystery that just as, he says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Jesus had hung there. He had not died, but he had to command his spirit to leave in order that he might die for your sin and mine. And this had been written in the scripture in order to fulfill God's word that Messiah would rise again after 3 days and nights in the grave. So they wrapped him, laid him in a borrowed tomb until 3 days and three nights had passed so that he could get up with all power and prove that even death had been swallowed up in victory. So I just said that because I want you to understand Jesus did that for you. I remember hearing about the cross a long time and never really getting an understanding of how does that affect me. And so many people are like that. You hear about it and you see movies and all kinds of stuff, but you really don't get out of it. How does it apply to me? So it has to do with Jesus paying the bill for your sin, paying the bill for my sin, in order that he might get up and show you, "I got the bill paid because I rose from the dead." And he was seen by many witnesses for about 40 days, the scripture says, after he had risen from the dead. And then he ascended into heaven, and the scripture tells us he is now seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for me and you. Intercession means prayer on the behalf of another. When you pray for someone else, you intercede on their behalf. You may have somebody in your family who doesn't know God, but you ask God to have mercy on them. They may be sick. You may ask God to heal them. They may have a need. You may ask God to provide that need. That's intercession. That's when we pray for someone else. So Jesus interceded for us, all of us who believe, and for you if you trust him today, that you can be saved because he said that he wanted you and I to be saved. So he prayed and settled the account with God for you and me and all who believe in him. And he prayed for our mission that we might go into the world and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever he had commanded us. And so we live this way in this life, looking forward to future glory. He has promised to bring all of us to glory. If you trust in him and believe in him, heaven is your goal. Somebody wrote a song like that. I'm not going to sing it for you right now. But heaven is my goal. I'm on my way. And so whenever I check out here, I'll be checking in over there. I got my ticket punched and I'm on my way. Hallelujah. I can live right now and know by the light of the glory of God that he has promised me salvation and to be in his presence. So I'm going to take you to the right here to the book of Revelation just for a minute as we close. Revelation 21. This is John writing. He says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city and new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So that's where we're heading right there. Heading into the glory, a whole new creation. God has promised it. Nothing on earth, nothing in the heavens can stop it. It's on its way. Are you prepared? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ for the pardon of your sins? Do you lean totally on him and depend on him and believe that God raised him from the grave for you? If you do, then you are prepared for heaven. If you don't, you're in the other group of people who are still going on the miserable road of this world and this life. And we admonish you today, right now, and I ask you and plead with you from the depths of my soul, believe the Lord Jesus Christ, trust the gospel, the good news, and you shall be saved. I want to pray with you just as we prepare to dismiss. And if you don't worry about the sin problem, that's why God allowed Jesus to receive that punishment, so that your sins can be forgiven. And he is the only one that can give you authority, power, and victory over it. And he's given you a glimpse of glory to look forward into what he is preparing for all who trust in him. So I want to ask you to pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I come today, Lord, just as I am. Father, I come knowing that you have given your son in order to cover me for my sin. And Father, I admit that I have sinned, and I ask you to cover me today, Lord God, with the blood of Jesus. Cover me with what he provides for those who trust in him. You said you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten son, that if I believe in him, that I will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, God, I trust in Christ, and I believe that you raised him from the dead, and I come asking you to save me right now in the name of Jesus. Father, bless every mind and every heart that's praying with me right now, Lord. Let them know, give them the assurance that they are saved. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, and lead them and guide them as you are doing all of your church to all truth. Give them that peace that passeth all understanding. Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all the saints out there say it together. Amen. Hallelujah. And we thank God for you. If you have been saved, write us a letter, a note. Let us know about this transaction, and we'll continue to pray for you. So we hope that you are living your life in light of the future glory that God has promised, and keep on walking by faith. We have some good news coming up. I'm not going to spill the beans here today, but we will let you know in a very near time, in the very near future, exactly what we're talking about. And we just thank God. He's so awesome. I want to thank God for all of you, and we ask you to tune in again for our Wednesday Bible study on this week around 6 o'clock. Amen. So have a blessed day. and enjoy your Lord's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.